everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, Ray engineering and producing our show as he does Monday through Thursday, does such an excellent job on the other side of the glass. On this Thursday, October the 5th, 2017, we come to you from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live listening. You can listen on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, the station's fine website, kvoi.com. The Sonoran Desert, oh my goodness, what a biologically diverse desert in the world, really the most biologically diverse desert in the world, hosts four species of columnar cacti, which along with their pollinators have been the subject of an 11-year study by Dr. Theodore Fleming. No species is an island, describes his surprising results, including the ability of the organ pipe cactus to produce fruit with another species pollen, and the highly specialized moth cactus pollination system of the Sonita. With illustrations by Kim Duffick, Dr. Fleming's book, which is published by the University of Arizona Press, offers an insightful look at how field ecologists work and often the big surprises that come from looking carefully at a natural world where no species does stand alone. Dr. Fleming joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Dr. Fleming, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you.
You know, there was an outstanding piece about your fine book in the Sunday, the Arizona Daily Star, and I think it becomes very apparent, Dr. Fleming, after reading the book, which I did, that no species is an island and about how life is so interconnected, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. That's one of the major messages of the book. You just go to a new area, and you can't view the organisms living there in a vacuum. They're all connected with other places in the world in many cases.
And how did you happen to end up in Sonora, Mexico, studying bats and cactus pollination?
Well, I've been studying bat-plant interaction since the middle 1960s. So I was asked in 1988 by my friend Merlin Tuttle, the founder of Bat Conservation International, to join him to study in the next field season the pollination biology of Sonoran Desert columnar cacti. I had been working in Costa Rica for many years, and the thought of moving to an entirely new habitat was kind of daunting at first, but once I got into the desert and began to see its wonderful organisms, I was hooked.
And you know, this is not a book that just for scientists. I found the book; it's not a large book, so it's an easy read. But it goes to show that how dependent, as we say in the beginning. But the bats really play such a key role, don't they, in the cactus pollination?
Absolutely, but you know, we used experimental techniques to show that the bats aren't important, totally important, for all of the three species that we're really studying in detail. And before we had done the experiments, the real dependence on bats had not been carefully studied.
Are bats endangered?
Well, the species that we studied intensely, the lesser long-nosed bat, when we began our work in 1989, was in fact a federally endangered species. It was on the official list and had been put there in the previous year. But our studies and many other studies by my Mexican colleagues have clearly shown that this bat is not endangered. Its numbers are in the hundreds of thousands. And recently, the bat was delisted in Mexico, and it's currently being delisted in the United States, too.
How is the organ pipe cactus, and we see them occasionally here, this is kind of, I guess, Dr. Fleming, sort of the northernmost range, right, for the organ pipe cactus. How is it different from the giant saguaro?
Well, it's different in many ways. You know, morphologically, it's very different. But the ability to produce fruits using another cactus's pollen seems to be quite unusual. And we only discovered that by being curious naturalists. You would normally think in most species, if you put the wrong pollen on the stigmas, that the flowers are going to abort, no fruit will form. Well, I was curious to know what would happen if the wrong pollen was deposited on organ pipe stigmas, because early in the flowering season, organ pipe is in a very unfavorable competitive situation. Its flowers are very uncommon compared to cardone flowers and even swirl flowers. So more often than not, it's going to receive the wrong pollen when a bat visits it.
Has that is kind of really the surprising thing, right, about your research? I mean, has that ever been discovered before, Dr. Fleming?
Not in this group of cacti, no. Not in a natural field situation. The ability for some plants to use another species' pollen is known. It has its own fancy name. I won't even mention it now. But seeing this happen in nature, in the absence of, you know, human cultivation and so forth, is pretty unusual and very unexpected.
You are a professor emeritus at the University of Miami in Florida, is that correct?
Indeed.
Yeah, yes. So Florida, obviously, you're talking about semi-tropical, and then on the other side of the world here, dealing with the desert. Had the desert always been an interest for you, Dr. Fleming?
Not really. Huh. Most of the time I was in Miami, I was working in Costa Rica because it was so an easy flight down
right.
to Costa Rica. And I had a long stint of 17 years studying bat plant seed dispersal interactions there, and I was very well known for that kind of research. But once Merlin Tuttle suggested going out to the Sonoran Desert, I'd seen, you know, Disney's, what was that nature film, The Desert Life or something like that, as a kid, and I was intrigued at that time by the organisms, rattlesnakes and tarantulas and all that kind of stuff. So I had been, early on, prepared to think about the Sonoran Desert, but I'd never actually worked in the Sonoran Desert.
What would you like the audience to take away from this book? And again, as I point out, this is a general audience book. It's not just intended for scientists.
Right. Well, a couple of messages, obviously. One of the things, from a scientific point of view, is going into a new area, it's important not to have preconceptions as to what's going on, what kind of interactions are going on. We discovered, you know, not just the organ pipe story, but the cardone story, the sonita story, pallid bats visiting cactuses, and all the life history of the lesser long-nosed nectar-feeding bat. It was just so fun to study all those things in detail for the first time. They'd never been studied in detail in the way that we did them. And the other thing is that our study area, which we called Tortilla Flats, is not outstanding in any way. It had been a cattle ranch. It had been overgrazed. But nonetheless, it was intact enough. All the organisms were there, and all the interactions were intact, so that this particular patch of desert held many secrets that most biologists would have never guessed was the case. And then again, we're interested in the migratory behavior of bats, birds, and so forth, and the role that places like Tortilla Flats play as rest area stops for these migrants moving through habitats, going from their winter grounds to their breeding grounds.
And we should point out where Tortilla Flats is.
Right. Tortilla Flats is near the small fishing village of Bahia de Kino, mm-hmm. or Kino Bay, which is due west of Hermosillo, the capital of Sonora, Mexico. So we're working in Sonora, Mexico, and right on the Gulf of California, right on the Sea of Cortez.
Dr. Ted Fleming, thank you very much. I want to tell people about how they can meet you coming up this Sunday. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Dr. Ted Fleming and illustrator Kim Duffick, some wonderful illustrations in this book, No Species is an Island, published by University of Arizona Press. And Kim and Dr. Fleming will be meeting folks and signing books at Tohono O'Chul Park this Sunday, October the 8th at 2 in the afternoon. A special note, the event will take place in the Education Resource Building, which is just east of the main park entrance. The event is free and open to all. It will be followed by a light reception and book signing. Well, speaking of cacti, they've got plenty of them for sale at Green Things, our favorite place for all things green over at 3384 East River Road. I've bought some cacti there in the past. They've done very well. They're located just west of the Brandy Fenton Park and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. 13 acres full of everything you can imagine for your garden. 12:15 now on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is our Friday Focus interview, while the roundtable features Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch, Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. It is the Buckmaster Show on a day that we will be very close to tying or perhaps even setting a record for the day as we get into the triple digits still. What does that translate into? Well, how about 15 degrees cooler if you drive 3 hours east of Tucson and visit my friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico? The elevation is right for some cooler days. Certainly, and it's just a great environment, hang out, exploring historic Silver City. Just relax in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the many great places to stay and recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We go now to Vail, Arizona, and the observatory of Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, who is the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker 9, Shoemaker-Levy. Almost cut you out of the picture there, David. Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing that very, very spectacular explosion. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Well, it's good to be in touch with you. Good to speak with you today. And I'm thinking of going on my way to Silver City to enjoy their cooler temperatures, except that we're going to get them next week. By next Wednesday, we should begin the 80s.
Well, if people don't want to wait, just head out, and if you're in Vail, Arizona, you've actually got a little bit of a jump start heading east. What about, do you do observing with your log? I know that you've been keeping a log, I think, for almost 40 years.
Yeah, I have been. In fact, one of the entries to my log was an observing session that I had in 1962 with my grandparents, where it was almost 60 years ago. That's when I observed a magnitude minus 10 Perseid fireball early in the evening. It just was this magnificent thing low in the southwest, and I'll never forget it. It was one of the first things that I actually recorded in my observing log. I think that recording your observing sessions is so important. And as Isabel Williamson said, who was one of my mentors when I was first starting in astronomy, she wrote that observations not recorded are not observations. If you didn't write it down, then you didn't see it.
Yeah.
So if you saw the eclipse, for example, last summer, you need to write it down what you saw in some kind of an observing log, either on a computer or, as I do, in a notebook that you can keep as an observing log, and that will last forever. Long after you're gone and centuries into the future, people will be able to relive what you saw under the night sky. That is so important, and that's what I do, and it's something that I strongly, strongly recommend.
Well, you know, it's not just observing the night sky and recording it. I suppose people who have kept diaries of their life, think about that. You're observing your day-to-day life. That, I would think, could make your whole life experience a lot richer, David.
Yeah, I thought it would. You're the second person to say that. And it's funny because, you know, I've started donating my original observing logs to the Linda Hall Library of Science. Then they found out I was keeping a personal journal as well, and they wanted that, and they now have most of that. And now they're interested in getting the journals that my wife Wendy has kept, especially the ones that she's kept since she met me.
Wow.
And it's really so interesting how this, what started out as a fairly small donation, has turned into piles and volumes upon volumes of observing logs, journals, comet hunting records, all kinds of things.
How about can we observe some meteor showers coming up?
And meteor showers. There's one coming at the end of this month and a couple of weeks on the 21st of October, really right after I get back from a lecture trip. It's the Orionids. And when Orion by that time will be rising around midnight and or maybe 11 o'clock, and there will be a meteor shower of specks of dust coming from Halley's Comet.
Really?
And we get that every year
in
October. And it's the last shower. It's the last shower when the wet temperature is still fairly mild and we can really enjoy it. And a week later, there are the torrids. And I saw a torrid fireball once that was so bright that dogs started barking in our neighborhood.
Oh, my goodness.
And and so meteor showers are coming up in the next couple of weeks.
And, of course, Orion now going to be coming up. And I always think of Orion with the holiday season. And you say it will be starting the end of October in this hemisphere. And I pointed out to you a couple of months ago that I was lucky enough in May to see it in French Polynesia and Tahiti,
yeah,
below the equator.
In the evening it was beginning to sink down into the western sky. And now it's starting to come up again, so get a sweater out.
There you go. David, summer highlights quickly?
Well, summer highlights were the eclipse of the sun was the highlight.
Mm-hmm.
There were some meteor showers. We had our Adirondack Astronomy Retreat. But most important comes the idea that when we go out and look at the night sky, it's so special. Which brings me to my quote of the month, which is Henry David Thoreau, who wrote these words in Walden: "If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away." It's something that I've lived by over the years.
Very nice. David, I only got about 2.5 minutes, but I did hear you say you're taking off on a lecture tour. Can you tell us where you're heading?
Yeah, I've got two of them. I'm actually going to be talking. The Vatican Observatory is giving a very interesting astronomy seminar in Ann Arbor next week, and I'll be part of that. Then I'll be talking in Montreal, and then in Pennsylvania at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown also next, the couple of weeks after that. So October is going to be a fairly busy lecturing month for me.
And it's also going to be a great time to go to those destinations because you will see some beautiful autumn foliage, perhaps maybe even starting to be a little late in the Montreal area by the time you get
there.
No,
it should still be pretty good. I'm looking forward to seeing the full fall foliage.
It should be great. David Levy, it's always a pleasure having you on the show, and I think we've already set up our visit for you in November. So
yes, we certainly have.
We will look forward to that, and the very best to your lovely wife, Wendy. Thank you, David.
Okay, I'll pass that on. She's listening. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. That's Dr. David Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. We got to get David an even 24, right? I mean, we keep saying Ray's got 23. Wouldn't it be, well, even in the intro, 24 comets under his belt. There you go. All right, one of my favorite segments, not that David isn't, but travel. I love to talk travel. We'll talk travel with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. That's next.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Time for our monthly talking travel segment with the Buckmaster Show travel industry contributor, Ryan Hansen. Ryan is one of two dozen people that I am so proud to have on board with this program. They are regular contributors, and you can see their bios, and they're such an impressive group. Go to buckmastershow.com. You can see Ryan's bio. This guy has a terrific bio, and he's also has a terrific situation right now as President and Chief Operating Officer for Bon Voyage Travel. Bon Voyage is has celebrated now for their over 40 years of delivering a wide range of travel-related services to Southern Arizonans through their four offices, and they have a very strong internet presence at bvtravel.com. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. Ryan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
And you have a strong internet presence, and you got to have that in your business, in the travel business today, because TripAdvisor changed a lot of things for the industry. Suddenly folks want to do, you know, a lot of research themselves. But that kind of opens the door to, like, more questions.
Contrary to popular belief, what most people might think a travel agency owner would say is, oh, that was the downfall of the industry. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to the industry because it brought the world so much closer. Some places that I know you've traveled mm-hmm. to and well-traveled people have been to, you could only share by word of mouth. Now, just about anybody can do a Google search of the Maldives. Where are the Maldives? Would I want to go there? And yes, it feels like it's that much closer and more attainable and I can actually get there. So it inspires our customers to bring great ideas to us and say, where can I go? Here's where I think I want to go. And then the planning starts from there.
Well, I remember, you know, before the internet, and I've always had this travel bug, Ryan, that even in the 1970s, I would write letters to places like tourism bureaus mm-hmm. for Papua New Guinea, of all places, mm-hmm. because I wanted to go to some of these exotic places. Then I'd wait a couple of weeks, maybe even a month, to right. get a brochure in the mail. And then now, you know, you go to TripAdvisor, but it's opened the door to really, certainly exotic places.
Yeah, places you might never think of, or it validates your thoughts and ideas already. If you've heard someone has been to those places like Papua New Guinea, well, let's take a look and see what could I experience there, what could tickle my fancy. And that is where, when we talk about travel every day in our office, it starts with a dream. And it progresses to the plan, and it ends in an investment. And we look at it, it's not a transaction, it's an investment. You know, you plan, dream, and save for very few things in your life. Your home, your retirement, your finances, vacations fall right into that. And that's a precious investment that we want to take care of. But it always starts with a dream.
It certainly does. And there's a study out that validates something that I've believed for a long time, that travel really is good medicine. This was a global committee on aging, and it was also put together by Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. You know, Ryan, we've heard about the benefits, the cognitive benefits to crossword puzzles and museum visits. Guess what? Traveling can provide the old brain with some of that same stimulus.
You know, anecdotally, we think that, right?
Yes.
Oh, it's a step away. You don't have to look at your to-do list. So clearly it has to be a relaxation and a stress reliever. But what is amazing is there have been these studies that mm-hmm. have been conducted where if you're a man that takes an annual vacation, you have a less chance of getting a heart disease and dying from heart disease.
You have a 30% less risk of dying from heart disease.
So it's not just good for the soul. You we hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, take a vacation. It's good for the soul. It's good for the mind. It really is good for the body as well. And it's not just unplugging from your cell phone, which we all agree that that's a good thing. Again, anecdotally, but you continue to look at some of the results of this study, and it is quite staggering that when you look at women that travel once a year,
right,
are just at such a lower risk of developing a heart attack or a coronary situation that could lead to death than women that don't travel on an annual basis or every few years even.
And the benefits of travel are almost immediate, and I've heard some people who are not who kind of shy away from travel saying, oh, but it is so stressful. This was very telling to me, Ryan Hansen, in this study. After only a day or two, 89% of respondents saw significant drops in stress.
I would love to take that one step further if I could conduct mm-hmm. a study like this. And I would argue, of course, this is a little shameless plug, but that the time frame of 1 or 2 days would shorten up if you use a travel expert like mm-hmm. someone at Bon Voyage. Because there is and can be. If you do it all yourself, the money stress, the time commitment to find where you're going to stay, how you're going to travel there, what are you going to do? If you could relieve that
right.
in addition,
right.
I would venture to guess that your stress level, it might be in the negatives.
Right.
You may be less stressed before the trip even starts.
And that would be
because
the goal.
That's coming.
That would be the goal. So much news happening. This has been a really terrible hurricane season. We hadn't really had a season like this in at least 10 years with this many hurricanes hitting the United States. And there's actually another one that's, I think, going to be in
Hurricane
the,
Nate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Nate. Yes. So this has changed the cruise industry for the upcoming winter. It's very, as they say, Ryan, fluid right now.
Yeah, no pun intended really and truly on that. And that is, I think most people are very well aware of the hurricane season being typically August and September. So our expertise at Bon Voyage, we wouldn't be recommending a cruise or an all-inclusive vacation in the Caribbean during August if you have the ability to be flexible with your calendar. But boy, these hurricanes, at least this year, have been much more broad-reaching as far as the damage and the long-lasting effects on places like San Juan, which to touch on your cruise
yes.
question, that's such a challenging port city
yes.
because it is it's a turn port. That's mm-hmm. where people get on and off the ship, and so that becomes more challenging. Most of the cruise lines are reacting very quickly, but also very smart because they recognize a change of a port dramatically affects the economy of said country and port city. Tourism is the number one economic driver for virtually every one of these port cities and countries.
Right.
So it's very important that they get the ports back up and running. But it's not a Caribbean-wide damage toll. It is quite specific to a few islands. So if you were looking to go to the Caribbean, there's plenty of options, especially on the land side, that there's cities that have not been touched at all.
The ABC Islands have not been touched, and people love them. I've been there. That's Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao. That in itself can make even if you don't want a cruise, I would recommend flying into Curaçao and doing all three islands. Because what's fun about the ABCs, there's just diversity there. The Curaçao is kind of your international shopping. Mm-hmm. Aruba's got the beaches, and Bonaire, some of the best diving in the world.
Well, and there's a joke in the industry a little bit that one Caribbean port is like the next. There's a rusty anchor, a church on the street corner, and a couple jewelry shops.
They're all different.
And it couldn't be more further from that point of view when you start adding in the French influence in some of the islands, the British influence in the British Virgin Islands. It is very fun to see the differences of some of these islands from the Haitian side of, mm-hmm. of the island to the Dominican Republic side. It's very fun to look at that. So when you're looking at our typical Caribbean cruise season would be more in the winter months.
Right.
Let us know, because a lot of the cruise lines, they're still going. They mm-hmm. might change. They might not be calling on Dominica, because mm-hmm. that was one of the ports mm-hmm. that got severely damaged. But they will reroute that to a different island and not affect the entire itinerary. But speaking of the Caribbean, we
right.
can transition quickly to Cuba.
I was wondering about Cuba. There had been all this news about the United States Embassy there and pulling out diplomats out of Havana. So I'm wondering, and I think a lot of other people who are thinking about, gee, I'd like to go to Cuba. They're really, on the travel side, we don't see any change at this point.
Correct. And when you look at those travel warnings, I would advise everyone to look at the travel warnings, but make sure you're an educated reader, not
right.
just someone who reads it and freaks out. Take a look at what the situation is, and that is the diplomatic area. And there hasn't been any attacks or any sign of attacks towards tourists or lay people on the islands. So keep that as at the top of your mind. If you're looking at a cruise, because there's now cruise has been mm-hmm. opened up in the very recent past, all of the cruise lines are still calling on Cuba as of today. I would envision that that's going to stay. I can't be a complete prognosticator, but that is a fabulous way to visit Cuba, because for anyone that wants to go but has that twinge of safety concern, you're sleeping on the ship, you're taking your shore excursions with the licensed ship shore excursion people. So there is a level of comfort in just that alone, and you still get to see an unbelievable island in Cuba.
And of course, there are, and again, St. Martin, very hard hit, U.S. Virgin Islands, and San Juan, more of that northern top of the Caribbean basin. And of course, the Dominica being hit really hard was very localized because just to the north, Martinique and Guadeloupe didn't really get as much damage. So, and that's a shame about Dominica. That is a place I have been, and I've never seen a greener island in the Caribbean.
Oh,
it
wonderful.
Reminds me of the South Pacific. But from what happened with, I guess, the hurricane, it's going to take a while to recover down
no
there.
Doubt.
But so we're moving around with the cruises. We haven't talked about Jamaica. That might be a topic that will come up. You're going to be hosting a full travel show for me here on the show in mid-October.
I will.
So there's lots of stuff to talk about during that show. And people who want this kind of enhanced experience, Ryan Hansen, I recommend Bon Voyage Travel.
I appreciate that.
Because your people have been there.
That's right. They've been there, and if they haven't been there, we've sent hundreds of thousands of people on these cruises, right? So we have that level of expertise. I appreciate the nod.
Right. So we will be hearing from Ryan Hansen. His special show here, Ryan's special half hour, will be on Wednesday, October the 18th, and I will be actually contributing a little bit. We'll kind of keep it quiet.
We're going to turn the tables.
We are.
I love it. I get ask you questions.
That's right, and I'm going to be on the road, and we're going to hold that as a little bit of a secret until Wednesday, October the 18th.
We don't want the paparazzi to show
no,
up at your locale.
We do not. Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure, and we thank you very much, and we urge everybody to go to your website, bvtravel.com, or give the folks a call. Everybody very friendly at your four offices would love to take some calls.
Thanks, Bill, for
Thanks
having
a lot.
Me on.
Ryan Hansen.
What is Zauschneria? Come find out at Tonachule's Fall Plant Sale. Tonachule's Fall Plant Sale will have an extensive offering of both the typical and the unusual, from native, cold, hardy, and adopted plants from agaves to Zauschneria. Make plans to attend Saturday, October the 14th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday the 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The plant sale is located in the propagation area at 7211 Northern Avenue, the first street west of Ina and Oracle intersection. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhance Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR603-05859, enhanceopenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working Together for a Better Future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. I was talking earlier with Ryan Hansen how happy we are to have Ryan as one of our two dozen contributors. Well, we've got another one for you that I am equally as honored to have with me in studio, and that is attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk Attorneys at Law. Luce Brown attorneys have three offices, two of them in Phoenix. Got a beautiful office on River Road here in Tucson. Mr. Luce, the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And Don, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. School construction and repair is mandated, I believe, Don Luce, in the Arizona Constitution. It needs to be addressed, and often it is not addressed by our lawmakers.
And that's exactly what the plaintiffs in this pending lawsuit are contending. So there's a case pending in Arizona brought by school districts versus the state, and it goes back years to when the Supreme Court said that the Constitution of our state mandates that the state maintain a general and uniform school system, and unless money is provided to do that, then the state has failed to meet its constitutional obligation. The school districts are saying the state has failed to do that, and what they're saying is that the shortfall is in the neighborhood of $300 million a year, if you can get your head around that number. And they're also contending that the cumulative loss of funding is in the neighborhood of $2 billion. So those are the stakes. The case is pending in Arizona. The state is saying it's a legislative decision. It's not a judicial decision. In other words, this case shouldn't even be in the courts. The state of Arizona is saying the legislature should make the decision as to what proper funding is, not the courts. The proponents of the case are saying, no, the legislature has failed to provide proper funding for the schools, and the courts now need to make a determination as to what the proper level of funding is so that the schools can maintain adequate facilities. And right now, we don't have enough money to do that.
So really, the crux of this, can a judge tell the Arizona legislature it's not adequately funding schools?
That's correct. Now, we have kind of an interesting setup because there is a school facilities board, which is an administrative agency that the legislature created to essentially fund and finance school projects. And the school facilities board, according to the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, doesn't have enough money, according to the districts, to properly provide for the repairs and maintenance that are necessary in the various local schools. this case goes back to a 1994 case where the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that the state has an obligation to ensure that all schools throughout the state meet these minimum requirements, because the problem, as the court saw it, was that in wealthier districts, these schools had the money to provide for new construction and repair and maintenance of their existing facilities. But in poorer districts, that money wasn't there. And according to the Supreme Court, in this decision that goes back more than two decades, it said the state is running afoul of its constitutional obligation to maintain a general and uniform school system.
Is there anything that says how much money should go to the school facilities board? Is that a law, or how does that work? What money goes to that board?
That generally is a legislative determination.
And they've kicked the can down the road on this, haven't they, in many cases?
According to the plaintiffs in this case, the legislature has chronically underfunded school maintenance, repairs, and new construction, and as a result, there is not enough money to meet the state's constitutional obligation to maintain a general and uniform system. So that's the crux of the argument. Right now, the judge hearing the case, who has gotten the paperwork on these arguments, has set oral arguments for December. The state wants the case kicked. They want it dismissed. They say that this doesn't belong in the courts. It belongs back at the legislature. And the school districts who have brought this case are saying no. It's not necessarily exclusively a legislative determination. If the legislature fails to provide enough money for school construction and repair, then the courts need to get involved and make the determination on behalf of the districts.
We'll see how that plays out, but it could have a huge impact on a chronically financially strapped state of Arizona.
Boy, I'll tell you, those numbers for any budget, especially our state's budget
are buster,
gigantic.
What is this now about our friends in Bisbee? And we've got listeners in Bisbee through the wide reach of KVOI. What's going on with the plastic bag? The city of Bisbee wanted to have their own ordinance concerning plastic bags.
Yes. Well, to set the context for this discussion, let's go back a couple of weeks to the Arizona Supreme Court's decision that basically said the Attorney General can, in fact, withhold funding to cities that have laws that are contrary to state law. And that particular law had to do with Tucson's ordinance to destroy confiscated illegal guns. And the Supreme Court said the law is constitutionally valid. The Attorney General has the ability on the complaint from a legislator to withhold funding. So take us to Bisbee, where the city has an ordinance that puts a tax on the use of plastic grocery bags. It's a 5-cent fee on all plastic grocery bags. Okay, so, you know, on its face, that's fine. The city has the ability to pass ordinances, and this is what the citizens of Bisbee want to do. The Attorney General, however, has been solicited by a state legislator to look into this and make a determination that the ordinance violates a state law that was enacted last year, which says no city can ban or regulate plastic bags, styrofoam, or other containers. So you have a state law that appears to be right on point, and of course the city of Bisbee's ordinance places a 5-cent tax on the use of plastic grocery bags. It seems clear to me, at least on its face, that the city ordinance is contrary to the state law, and so it's going to be interesting to see what position the city takes if the Attorney General says, you know, you need to essentially rescind this ordinance. Now, going back to the Tucson ordinance that we talked just talked about, the city of Tucson, in fact, did essentially rescind that ordinance and decided to stop destroying confiscated weapons, because if they had continued to do so, they would have lost a considerable amount of funding. It'll be interesting to see what Bisbee decides to do.
Well, it's just interesting the way the state seems to be moving in a direction where they are saying that the state law is overruling the local jurisdictions.
Right.
And the local cities are saying they're chartered cities and they can pass their own laws.
And, you know, that is very similar to what happens at the state level when a state statute is in conflict with a federal law dealing with the same subject. In all cases, the federal law supersedes and preempts the state law. This system that we have in Arizona is very similar. If there is a state law dealing with a particular subject and a city ordinance is contrary, the state law supersedes and preempts the city's law.
Well, we'll see if Bisbee folks can continue to pay a little extra for a plastic bag or not. Don Luce, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We do want to remind folks that both of Don's books are available through Amazon. And any local booksellers that you know handling the books right now or no?
Well, I think they're in the Barnes & Noble stores in Tucson and Phoenix.
Okay.
When Arizona Laws 101 first came out, I did several signings, and so I know that the books were in the stores at that time.
Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and of course there had to be a second edition. We're in Arizona, the home of lots of laws. Great place to be an attorney, right? And State Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, Don's other fine book. Mr. Luce, have a great week.
Thank you, sir. Bill. You too.
Great weekend coming up. All right. This afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They'll put together their Thursday edition from 4 to 5, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9 tomorrow morning. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, with our Friday Focus interview, Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, will be joining us. And of course, we'll have our journalists on the Friday Roundtable. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.